It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
Welcome back. It's the final hour and monologue of the week. I'm still live on YouTube. We'd like you to subscribe for free, JT the Brick YT. And we are all over on the Raiders mobile app and the LV Sports app. We have it all covered for you here. So if you miss any portion of the show, you can always get it. And we like that, especially the video portion of the show. So I woke up today to find out that Devontae and Max weren't playing, waited for Antonio Pierce to make the comment at the press conference. It kind of shook a lot of people up. The Raiders have many players out. Malcolm Kuntz gone for the year. Marcus Epp gone. Max Crosby, high ankle sprain, out. Ruled out. Devontae Adams, hamstring, out. Michael Merritt Mayer, for personal issues, he's out this week. So if you look around, Divine Diablo, who just cannot stay healthy, but he's injured. Not doing it on purpose. He's injured. He's not able to go. So with all the injuries, Cleveland's got a bunch too. Looks like a mass unit. A lot of backups playing for both teams. So if Cleveland was at full strength and the Raiders had this many injuries, I don't think the Raiders would have a good chance in this game. But the fact that Cleveland's got as many, if not more, than the Raiders, I think makes it a pretty even game. I mentioned, and we're mentioned in this hour, we want to know who you think has to have a great game for the Raiders to win. Who has to have a great game? I said in the first hour it was Gardner Minshew. Minshew's got to have a game for the ages in his career. He's had them in Indy. He's had them in Jacksonville, where he's thrown for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's done that. Okay, he has Brock Bowers, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker. And some of the backups that are going to come in here are pretty good. He's going to get them the ball. The ball's got to come out quick. And I also think he has to run. Really think he's got to run for over 50 yards or so. He truly does have to run. Design runs where he is moving outside the pocket. There's nothing open. And he doesn't look to just get 2 yards and get out of bounds. I mean, he looks to pick up 12 yards. He's running. He's running, maybe making someone make a miss. Everybody knows that Aiden O'Connell's going to play if Minshew doesn't play good in this game. Everybody knows that. If Gardner Minshew plays poorly in this game and the Raiders don't win, Aiden O'Connell will be the quarterback, I think. So maybe Gardner Minshew is going to play his ass off. I also think Nate Hobbs and Jack Jones have got to step up in a big way. They have to. Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs seem to be healthy. Jack was a ball hawk last year. Nate's a guy that can make things happen. Go have a game. I really like the play of Isaiah Polamalu. Think he's a good player. And in this situation, could have a big game. But, man, they got some good receivers in Amari Cooper and Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy was a big underachiever in Denver, and he's a cocky guy. And I think Sean Payton looked at Russell Wilson and said, get him out of here. Jerry Jeudy, I don't like him. Get him out of here. Jerry Judy's going to have a lot to prove against the Raiders. He's played against the Raiders a bunch. So with all this happening, and what about Zamir White? How come I don't have 9 callers on hold saying Zamir White has to have a good game? Like, what are we doing here? Does anybody think the Raiders can win other than me? I mean, they got to win the game. I don't care who's playing. I really don't at this point. I'm bummed out, but I got to be at the torch and do the pregame show, and we're going to treat it like they're going to win. Game sold out. There's going to be a lot of Cleveland fans there. You know it. Raider fans wear black, get there early, tailgate, get going. If the Raiders win this game, next man up, and get to 2-2, it's going to feel like a party. 2-2 this year is different. 2-2 this year is different. And if they can do it, they're 60 minutes away of being 2-2 considered early in the season a playoff team, in the standings at least, as a wild card team and with something to build on. I mean, I went into this week thinking the Chargers would lose their game, thinking Denver's going to lose their game, the Raiders are going to win their game. I'm not worried about Kansas City much anymore. Kansas City's going to win the division. Newsflash. Kansas City's 3-0. Look at the injuries around the league. Kansas City's probably going to win the West. But the wild card's in play. And if you get to 2-2, you're a wild card team, and I think the Raiders are going to need that time to get healthy. Remember, they don't play Denver till a week from Sunday. It's Friday. So Max is not going to play football now for 9-10 days. Either is Devontae. I would hope that Devontae's hamstring and Max's high ankle sprain in 8 to 9 days can get him back on the field in Denver. Don't know. Don't know for sure. So that's what we're doing here. It's the final hour of the week. Let's end it strong. Let's have a good lead into Q Myers, who's got a big show at the top of the hour. I got Jess on the board here. I'm ready to roll. Got a big night tonight. I'm double dipping tonight, helping out in any way I can. MC for ALS, Food is Art. If you like food, high-end food and chefs and all that, they're raising money for ALS at the pool at the Strat. So I'll be there from 7 to 7:30, kicking it off, introducing everybody, the band, rah, rah, rah. And then I am jumping in a car that's waiting for me to get to the Biletnikoff's over at the Westgate, where it's the Biletnikoff crab feed, where people are going to be eating crab and drinking and listening to Reckless in Vegas, a great band led by Michael Shapiro, good friend of mine. And a lot of guys, a lot of my friends at the Raiders, bosses, friends, all get together at this event. And we let loose afterwards. We meet in the lobby. We have some beverages, wives. It's one of those things that we do once a year. We do it more than once a year, but it's kind of nice to do this because we're raising money in the memory of Tracy Biletnikoff. So that's going to be cool. That's two nights tonight. Two nights. And no, I don't have a limo. That's one of the advertisers we need, Jess, here, is I need a limo service. Because my dad's my accountant, and every year he goes, wait a second, what's with this accent? My mom, what's with these Ubers? What's with all these Ubers on your taxes? I'm like, what do you mean? It's part of doing business. It's part of being in the JT the Brick business. You got to have an Uber here and there. But yeah, I like a ride from time to time. The Eagles are in town. The Eagles are at Sphere. And a whole bunch of good things. Wu-Tang Clan are going to be there. The Wu-Tang, yeah, right? You saying that again? Wu-Tang Clan is going to be over at Virgin. That's going to be fun with the great John O'Donnell at One Steak. Get a couple of beverages before you go into that. So we're going to have a good weekend here. We're not going to, Jess, I said, I don't want Raider fans to cuddle up in a ball and be really sad, and I'm not going out tonight. The Raiders might lose because Max is hurt. We don't do that, Joe. We try to find a way to win. Win at all costs. Joe's in Vegas. Joe, what's going on? Thanks for waiting.
Hey, JT, I'm a season ticket holder. Two guys don't make a team.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, if on defense, Luke Mackerson, he needs a step up, and I think he can have a good game. And I think that the other backup tight end, mm-hmm. I think he wears 84.
Yep.
He's pretty good. If he steps up, the offensive line and the whole team steps up, we should win this game. This is a team sport. We've missed two of our stars. We should still be able to do next man up and cowboy up and get a win here. We can beat these guys. And if you're not a true Raider fan, if you're just going to cash it in because we had a bad game last week, okay? It's like everybody just needs to step up and play the game and show up for the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're a
Stop
great
showing up.
Yeah, I really appreciate your call, man. We're trying to get a few more of those here before Q comes up here. A couple of more fans that think, you know, Harrison Bryant's a good player. He really is. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he can play. So the depth of this team is in question now. For Devontae Adams, DJ Turner will step in. You have Jacoby Myers, who's going to start, Trey Tucker, Brock Bowers, because Michael Mayer has been ruled out. I'm expecting a big game out of Colt Miller, Jackson's Powers Johnson, Andre James, Dylan Parham, and DJ Glaze in for Thayer Mumford, who's out. Thayer's got a lot of bad luck, man. I golfed with Thayer. I hung out with him a little bit in the offseason. he really wants to be great at right tackle, and he's just getting nicked up here. It's a shame, but Glaze had a lot of reps in Costa Mesa, and he should be ready to go. Max is out, so Tyree Wilson and Charles Snowden will step in. John Jenkins will be ready to go with Christian Wilkins. Janorius Robinson in for Malcolm Kuntz. Diablo's out, so when you look at Tommy, what about Tommy Eichenberg? Amari Burney? Amari Gaynor? Let's get someone going here. Robert Spillane, Luke Masterson. Then we'll see Jack Jones, Isaiah Palamal, Trayvon Merrick, Ja'Corian Bennett, and Nate Hobbs. The team will wrap up with Daniel Carlson as the kicker and A.J. Cole as the punter, needing to have great games. Remember my rule with Carlson, he needs 12 points if we're going to win. 3 field goals is 9 points. And then we need 3 touchdowns that have extra points that get us to 12. So I need Carlson to get through this game with 12 points. And I need A.J. Cole, who's one of my favorite players, really is. A.J. is one of my favorites. I need A.J. Cole to be more aggressive with pinning teams back inside the 5. A.J.'s a great punter. He's going to punt the ball high. He's going to punt it inside the 20. We know that. He's A.J. Cole. We need a better game out of A.J. We need punts that are going out of bounds, bouncing on the 4-yard line, and bouncing out of bounds. We need that. Has to happen in this game. Everybody's got to be a little bit better. Everybody's got to be a little bit better overall. And I think that'll happen. One thing I wanted to mention from the game last night, I went to La Casa Cigars, had a cigar with the owner, Mike, my buddy Wags, Tom Wagner, great, really cool guy in town here, insurance company owner and friend, former sergeant at Metro. And we watched the Giant Cowboy game. And the Giants couldn't score. They were just kicking field goals in the game. And I sat there and I said, what a conservative, gutless game plan. Daniel Jones, 29 of 40 for 281. The guy didn't throw a touchdown at home in a must-win game. The Giants ran it for a total of 26 yards in the game. They couldn't get anything going, and they were so conservative that they threw before the first down marker. Something that I tweeted Jim Plunkett never did in his career. If Jim Plunkett had 3rd and 12, he threw it 13 yards. Almost every time, unless he dumped it off to Marcus Allen. And Marcus could get you the 13 yards, you know that. But man, I'm watching the Cowboys last night. They were so beatable. They were so beatable. And the Giants played so conservative. I would really struggle with that with the Raiders. I would really struggle if they came out with a conservative game plan with all these injuries and didn't attack. I would be bothered if the Raiders didn't take this game and empty everything out and try to make some heroic plays and do some great things. This cannot be a conservative game plan, hoping to keep it close late so you can beat Cleveland. Gardner Minshew's got to step up and play big. I'm not calling for his job at all, but I don't see how he keeps his job much longer if he doesn't have a great game. I'm not talking about managing the game. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I don't need Gardner Minshew to manage a game. I need Gardner Minshew to win a game, not manage a game. Don't need him to keep it close. What the hell we bring him here for? Gardner Minshew's got to have a moment. It's now. This is it. He's the quarterback. Pressure's on, man. Pressure's on. Okay? There's no Devontae and no Max. It's Gardner Minshew's team. Go win the game. Go have a great game. I know he can. I've seen him have excellent games in this league. And Deshaun Watson's a dangerous player. Fortunately, he's been a head case for quite some time. So I don't know what's going to happen here with him. Got to hope that he is slowed down. Got to hope that he doesn't run and tuck and run. It doesn't seem like he wants to. And hopefully the Raider defense can get after him. The Giants got him for 8 sacks last week, and the Giants are 1-3. Giants are 1-3. Cowboys have Micah Parsons, who's injured. They got a lot of injuries, and the Cowboys are 2-2. By Sunday at 4:30 in the afternoon, the Raiders could be 2-2 and have the same record as the Dallas Cowboys. All right? That's a reality here if they win the game. 702-365-9200. We'll get to my conversation with Rich Gannon coming up here on the other side. Rich joins us every week, and I want to play that every week because it's really good content. We'll play a portion of that coming up here, and then we'll take your phone calls the rest of the way as we get out of here. Weird news today. Didn't expect this news. It's kind of negative news. We got to try to find a way to make a positive out of it. The only thing that'll matter is a win. As Al Davis said, just win, baby. We'll prove it in this game. We're brought to you by the M Resort Spa and Casino. They just had Ice Cube. They got more concerts coming up. Also, the Raiders Tavern and Grill. Great place to go get lunch and dinner.
And down an eight for Dalton. He's under center. Mingo motions right to left. Now he settles slot to the left. Dalton. Play action. Settles in the pocket. And down he goes. Hit from behind by Robert Spillane. He came right through the middle. And he dropped him for a loss of eight.
Rich, it was just a really tough loss for the Raiders, obviously. But what was it like for you to come into the building on a Monday as the leader of the team coming off a disappointing loss in the past?
Well, guys, it's great to be with you. I wish it was under better circumstances, but it was a very disappointing day yesterday for Raider fans. And I just think we talk about taking a step forward, then two steps backwards, and it's kind of been that way the last couple of years. You know, it's important that they learn from the mistakes. I think it's important that they respond. I think there's a couple of things that really jump out to me. I think first and foremost, I think that opening drive of that game, Carolina takes the ball 70 yards, and that should have sent a message to the Raider players. It certainly sent a message to everyone on that Carolina sidelines that with Andy Dalton at quarterback, we have a chance. But I think the message should have been loud and clear earlier in the week that when they sat down Bryce Young, who was 2-16 as a starter, and they put in Andy Dalton, who had 163 career starts, the Raiders should have known that the challenge on Sunday was going to be that much more difficult. And I just didn't like how they came out. I didn't like how they played in the first half offensively, which has kind of been a recurring theme here the last couple of weeks. And I don't like the fact that they got punched in the mouth and didn't respond. And so to me, as a player, I always felt as a veteran player, it was important for the team to know how others, whether it's head coaches, coordinators, general managers around the National Football League, what did they think of the Raiders? We say, well, why is that important? That's noise. That's outside the building. I think it's important that you understand what people think of you, because that's how they're going to try to attack you. You know, if you give off this impression that you're a tough guy, you always say, you know, the tough guy, you better be one, because eventually you're going to go in that schoolyard and you're going to face another tough guy, and we're going to find out whether or not you can really drop the gloves and be that tough guy. And I think for the Raiders, it's important to know what people think of you. And why do I say that? Because you have to change people's opinion of you. You know, I think when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, people think that they're not a tough football team when it comes to defense. They can rush the pass, they can get sacks, but they're not going to roll up their sleeves and stop the run. You know, the Saints put 190 on them. The Ravens put 246 on them. Until you change the narrative, that's what people are going to keep doing. And when you look at the Raiders, people say, you know, they talk a good game, but they're, you know, it's there's no substance. That's not my opinion. That's just, I think, the opinion when you talk to different people around the league. That's important for the Raiders to know. It's important for the Raiders to change that. And the only way to change that is for the players in the locker room to handle it. You know, AP can talk about, you know, after the game, you know, some people made business decisions. The players have to police the locker room. I always say great teams, you hand the leadership over of the team back over to the players. And that's, to me, what has to happen. Somebody has to get fed up. Somebody has to get annoyed. Somebody has to demand more from the players on the practice field. And that's how you change the culture and the environment in terms of what you're doing. The other thing I would simply tag is the ability to handle success. Been a problem for the Raiders now for a while. And what do I mean by that? I'm not talking about success where you're winning division championships, you're winning Super Bowls. I'm talking about a little bit of success. It goes right to your head. You come back from 10 on the road against Baltimore, and you can't come back in a home opener and beat the Carolina Panthers, who've had a lead in for 10 seconds in 10 straight games, and you let them come onto your home field and drop a house on you. See, that's what's upsetting to me as a Raider, to see that the players aren't going to take the ownership. And that's what has to happen. You want to change it, you got to start taking ownership.
Man, those are valid and great points, Rich. And it leads me, I was going to talk to you about chunk plays, but it leads me to character and who you are as a football team and as a football player. You bring up amazing points about being able to bounce back from a big win or a big loss. But it goes to, I understand, you know, we want to be a physical running team and play with defense, but you're tested and find out exactly who you are as a football team. How can you, if you're a football team who wants to run the football and have issues and trouble, we are at a historic low as far as rushing the football. How do you adapt or change that football and running the football philosophy if you're 3 weeks into the season?
That's a great point, Eric. And you know, as a player, that when you make something a point of emphasis, usually you see the results, right? When you talk about if there's an area, short yards, a goal line, whatever it is, when you start repping that, when you start, you know, doing it earlier in the week, when you start putting extra time in and focus on that area, we typically see improvement. I think with the run game, that's what the Raiders have to do. They have to put the pads on. You know, you can't have run game walkthroughs, right? You can't have players in shorts and t-shirts and walk through the running game. You have to have them in pads. You have to have the low pad level. You have to have some inside 9-on-7 periods, and you have to do the dirty work to get good at it. And I think it has to be a point of emphasis. You can't just talk about it as a coaching staff. We're going to be a more physical team, and then all of a sudden you come out and you get stuffed a couple times and you throw it 50 times in a game. You just can't do that. And I think it's a mindset. I think it's a personnel issue as well. When you look at the five guys up front and including the tight ends, what are we doing in the running game? Are we blocking on the perimeter? Do we have the backs that head downhill that can hit the hole that can, you know, can get you the extra yards? And do we have a certain toughness to them, to us, you know? And that's, I think that's developed over time. It's not just something where you flip a switch and all of a sudden you become a good run team. And I think that's what, you know, Jim Harbaugh is trying to do with the Chargers, right? This is, we had Justin Herbert, you know, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler, a big throwing team. Now all of a sudden they go out and get J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, and you draft Joe Alt, and you get the line straightened out. And now you're not asking Justin Herbert to throw 40 times a game. They're trying to run the football. They're trying to be like Pittsburgh, right? That mindset of tough, physical, downhill, smack you in the mouth. And that's got to be something that the Raiders can make a point of emphasis here the next month and see if they can't get it worked out. I said coming out of training camp that if they can't run the ball with the quarterback situation, it's going to be a long season for the Raiders, and they have not been able to do that through the first 3 weeks of the season. They're dead last in rushing.
All right, Rich, we're going to stay with that for a second because the game was over at the half because they were stubborn enough to want to get the running game going, and it doesn't work. Cleveland is a team that is decimated with injuries, and the Raiders have a few. We'll get into that later in the week. So what do they do? Devontae's there. Devontae's got to touch the ball more. Brock Bowers had an unbelievable performance in Baltimore. If they go back to wanting to be the bully and establish the run, and it doesn't work against Cleveland in their home building, we're having this conversation again next week.
No, you're right. And I think, you know, Cleveland historically has been a pretty good defense with Jim Schwartz, and they have the ability to stop the run, but they have their own issues, right? They've got a quarterback that's been misbehaving. He's turned the ball over. They're struggling on third down. You know, they're not running it like they used to, and their offensive line is playing poorly, right? So you have to look at the matchup and say, what are our strengths and what are our weaknesses? I don't think you fix the run game overnight. You know, the other thing is it's, you want to be a great running team? Why don't you get a lead in the game where you can lean on the running game a little bit, where you can get more reps in the running game? You know, that when you're always playing from behind, it's hard to run the ball 35 times in a game. So I think from the Raiders' perspective, absolutely, when you put your game plan together, there has to be Devontae Adams, Brock Bowers, your best players have to touch the ball early and often. But, you know, you've got a quarterback where the short and intermediate throws are going to be big. The screen game has to be better. And then we have to be able to run the ball and not when we have to, but when we want to, right? And I think that's part of it. I don't think you go into a game saying, you know what, come hell or high water, we're going to run the ball on first and second down, you know, every drive. No, let's change it up. Let's be smart about how we do it. But they have to be able to establish that presence, that mentality, that toughness, that when we have to run the ball, we're capable of running the ball.
Rich, talks a little about what Andy Dalton was feeling back in the pocket. He had numerous chunk plays, and you talked about that first drive, 70 yards, kind of icing on top of the cake. I thought he played a tremendous game. They had great formations. The receivers were great. The calls, the timing, everything was on point. Talk to us about when the quarterback is kind of in that groove like Andy was yesterday, how you feel.
Yeah, look at the numbers, Eric. It was incredible. First of all, getting off to a good start, I felt like it was going to be really important for the Panthers and Andy Dalton, right? Because all these players wanted to see what this guy's going to do. So 26 to 37, 319 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, it was just almost a career day for Andy Dalton. And I think that first drive was so important because I think, as I said before, it sent a message to the players that, you know, we can do it now because we have a guy that's capable. I talked to someone in the Carolina front office earlier in the week, and one of the things he said to me was it was really hard for them as a staff to evaluate their offensive players for the first two games. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, it's been hard to evaluate the receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, even the offensive line because of how poorly the quarterback played. So they were anxious to see what they really had. I think they found out a little bit yesterday, you know, with Deontay Johnson and Hubbard and the rest of them, you know, Thielen before he got hurt. I mean, they found out that they've got a decent enough team that they can move the ball on offense. But it's amazing when you make that change at the quarterback position. And I just think that, you know, here, you know, they were converting 9%. Think about that. If you're in the low 30s, you're usually at the bottom of the league in third down conversion. The Panthers came in converting 9% on third down. So you knew they were going to be better with Andy Dalton, who's, you know, got experience on third down and understands protection and fronts and pressures and coverages. And I just felt like, you know, once the Raiders got behind, then they pressed a little bit. And then they, you know, they weren't able to kind of stick to the game plan, right? Come out and run the football and establish the run and set up the play action game and move the launch point for the quarterback. But, man, just a real setback and hopefully something that they can learn from. I think they have to sit down in that film room today, Eric. You and I have done it over the years. It's painful to come in on Monday and watch the film. Sometimes you sit there in your seat and you cringe. You know, you hate to look at it. You have to own what's on the film. That's what the players do today. They have to own what's on the film. What they put on the film is out there for everybody to see, not just you and me and JT and all the Raider fans. Everyone across the league is going to look at it. And, you know, and that's what you have to own. You have to take ownership for your body of work.
Trey Tucker had a really good game, a career game, Rich, for him. 7 receptions, 96 yards, and a touchdown. I want to know specifically from you the deep shot early in the first half. You take that shot. If it's incomplete, hey, at least they know you're going to go to him. And then you hit a big one. What do they need to do now to build around him? Because Devontae Bowers, Michael Mayer, Jacoby Myers showed up late in the second half. He was the best player on the field. What do they build on with the deep passing game?
You know, I think there's a lot to build on from the Raiders' perspective because, you know, we've talked a lot about this, guys, during the preseason. The personnel on the perimeter is really good. I mean, I've always liked Jacoby Myers. Devontae Adams, one of the best in the business. You've got Tucker now, who's got that rare and unusual straight line speed. You've got two really good tight ends. Bowers is going to be, I just think, a phenomenal player. And he's continuing to learn, right, when you think about the NFL game. I mean, he's just got a great feel for coverages and the ability to create separation. You know, I just think that he just needs more opportunities, right? I know that sounds crazy when you look at where he's at in terms of receptions and targets through the first 3 weeks, but he's arguably he and Devontae Adams, your best weapons on offense right now. So, you know, I think it's good for Gardner Minshew. I think to me is we have to play better up front. And I'm not just talking about the running game. I mean, the protections aren't good enough. We're getting too many sacks. We're getting hurried. We're getting knocked down. We're getting rushed. And that affects the quarterback's ability to trust the protection and sit in there. Remember, Gardner Minshew is not 6'5", 235 pounds. He needs a clean pocket. And to me, I think it's a lot of, I think the emphasis from an offensive standpoint, not only just in terms of the running game, we got to play better up front because you've got a quarterback that can be very accurate and you've got a lot of weapons on the perimeter who can make big plays after the catch.
Thank you, Rich, as always. We appreciate it. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next Monday.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right. I thought it was important to play that. That's before Devontae was rolled out, and Max obviously was rolled out. Welcome back, JT in studio with Jess and Bobby. Here's the deal why I wanted to play that. Rich is super aggressively positive about how the Raiders can win every week. He knows the struggle. He spent most of that discussion with Eric Allen and myself on the offensive line. And how the offensive line has to get better. And how you have to run it because you're able to run it and you're doing it because you do it with authority. Well, that kind of works perfectly into the scenario that we found out today with no Devontae and no Max. That we're focusing more on the players who are on the field and can make plays and how the offensive line has to have their moment. It has to. This is it. The team is a mash unit. Most of the team isn't playing. A lot of guys out for the year already. Kuntz and Epps, and then the injury report today, which is devastating, and it's devastating for Cleveland on top of it. So it's going to come down to the ability to win and have a great effort by some players that aren't supposed to be playing, and they have to play better than their ability. I said Isaiah Polamalu is one of them, and then someone coming off the edge. Tyree Wilson's the obvious choice, but if it's Snowden, whoever it is, someone's got to get a sack or two and get Deshaun Watson to the ground. Four in Summerlin, diehard black hole. Go ahead.
JT, what's up, my brother? Apologize for my voice right now. I'm a little out of it. I flew back in from Oakland at 1 this morning. Said goodbye to the Coliseum, man. It was a great time out there. Missed all my Oakland Raider memories and all that. But, hey, our Raiders' backs have been up against the wall before, man. And up against the wall now with the news of Devontae and Max is even worse. But next man up, someone got to come in and make plays. We still have so much talent out there. Let it all hang out, like you said. I want to see creativity out there in the play calling. I mean, obviously we want to be able to run the ball, but use the speed of Trey Tucker. Mm-hmm. Use everything you have. Like let it all hang out. There's no reason not to. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the worst that can happen? We go to 1-3. So let's try to get out there and get to 2-2, get people healthy, and then just let it all out. There's nothing to be scared of anymore. I don't want to see a bunch of conservative nonsense and, just run right past. Let's go. Let's get it done, man. Fired up, JT.
Thanks, Thor. Good to have you back, and I know there's a lot of our listeners that helped close down the Coliseum, went up there to see the final last days game there. I did a live stream with Damon Bruce yesterday on his YouTube channel, and we spoke mostly about our memories in Oakland. 17 years commuting to Oakland twice a week during football season. I have a lot of memories at the Oakland Coliseum and a lot of memories going to A's games, mostly when the Yankees were in town, but other games, and just having a good time there. All my years at the Oakland Airport Hilton, taking BART, Air BART, going to Ricky's, going to Lake Merritt, all the events that I hosted there. Really going to miss it. It's a shame, the Coliseum. I don't believe it's a done deal for the A's to get to Vegas. I'm on record with that along with a lot of people. If they get here, it'll be in 2028. I'll believe it when I see it. Let's get out to Raider Al in California. Al, what's happening? Go ahead. Raider Al, is this you? All right, Raider Al is not there. Can we get this going? Let's get out to Raider Rich on line 2 in California. Jess, drop that call. Is that you, Rich? Go ahead.
Hey, JT. I'm driving down right now, coming from California. I'm with my wife, Colleen, and we're coming to support the Raiders.
Nice.
And we're coming to support that offense, buddy. You know, I echo the sentiment that Thor just said, is they got to open it up on the offense. Mm-hmm. It's been four. This will be 4 games in for Minshew. Let him run. Let him do what he does. Well, it can't get any worse. And if it does, then we're right back at 8, mm-hmm. and we'll start all over again. But these guys have been in the offense. They've had a preseason. They know the plays. You know they're going to talk to Minshew and say, "Hey, what are you feeling comfortable with? And let's go with Tucker." And we got to hit. We got to bring in that running back from Minnesota. You know, mm-hmm. he's provided a little spark. If Zeus is struggling a bit, let him run. Let him run. And I think they can pull it together. It's going to be tough. But as you said, and as Rich Gannon has said, next man up, quit talking, and let's get this done.
Yeah.
We're driving down.
Good.
We're driving down to see it.
Excellent.
So let's make it happen, buddy.
Thanks for calling while you're driving. I appreciate that. That's not easy to do. Thank you for the support. We greatly appreciate it. So with everything happening here, the breaking news today, injury report confirmed by Antonio Pierce. Max Crosby will not play. Devontae Adams will not play. Also, Michael Mayer will be out for personal reasons. So there's a lot of guys out, and there's a lot of guys out on Cleveland's side. So there's plenty of excuses for whatever team loses. But Cleveland doesn't have David Njoku, Jedrick Willis, Jack Conklin, Pierre Strong ruled out. They got a lot of players that are out too. So it's a mass unit. You're paying to go to a game, and a lot of stars aren't going to be there. I go to a lot of rock concerts. They cancel the concert if the singer can't sing. Okay, if the drummer can't play, they cancel the concert. They don't cancel football games. So if you got a ticket to this game, you shouldn't be happy. You're going to a game and paying to see a product that doesn't have Devontae Adams and Max. but it's going to be more of an emotional game, I think, and an important game. Emotional and an important game because it's a must win, and the Raiders have to win no matter who's playing. We all know that. We spent the whole week telling you that. Murph in Buffalo. What's going on, Murph?
Hey, JT. How you doing, sir?
I'm okay, thanks.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'm one of those fans that I don't give in, right? Early in the season, we're going to be 2-2. Big game. I'm calling on Luke Getsy. I'm going to piggyback off Thor. Let's get that. Let's just throw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, be creative. We're so predictable. I mean, it really, I'm sitting there with my buddy every week, diehard Raider fans here in Western New York, you know, getting shit from Buffalo fans.
No, we don't drop that. We don't use the S word on the radio, okay? I got two different shows, podcast, all that. So, again, appreciate your call, Murph, but come on, clean it up here as we come back. 702-365-9200. You know, mention Getsy and what's going to happen with Getsy in this game. The guy he's missing, three starters. He's missing Michael Mayer, a starter at tight end in the 12 personnel, Devontae Adams, a future Hall of Famer, and Thayer Mumford, the starting right tackle. Jackson Powers Johnson, I hope, gets all the snaps and plays the entire game. Other than that, everybody's ready to go. Those are three out of the 11 starters. It's a lot. Do the math. You're going to have to make sure that someone steps up, DJ Turner or Brock Bowers. How about a heavy dose of Brock without Michael Mayer out there? Is everyone good with that? How about going to Brock 12 times? 12 targets to Brock, 10 to Jacoby. I have no problem with Brock Bowers as a rookie taking over a football game. Do you? I don't have a problem with him taking over the game. He's young. He's fit. He's ready to play. He doesn't drop the ball. He runs after the catch. But this game's going to have to come down to Zamir White. Zamir White has got to show up. Period. Period. You know, my day started off, I watched something really inspiring. I watched a music documentary on a band called Tragically Hip. And if you know who Tragically Hip is, and if you don't, it's about a singer named Gord Downie, who the most successful Canadian band of all time. And I'm a Rush fan, but this is a much bigger Canadian story about a band that was best friends. Five guys grew up together in high school, and they had the most incredible band, who I've seen a few times. And they didn't work well in the States. They were big in the United States, but they were massive in Canada. I mean, the biggest band of all time. You got Neil Young from Canada. You got a lot of musicians from Canada. Tragically Hip, Rush. Tragically Hip is one. They're one. And the documentary proves it. And they were big in Europe, too. So anyway, the guy Gord Downie gets diagnosed with brain cancer, terminal brain cancer. And the band is kind of breaking up lightly, and they decide they have to go out on tour for one more tour because Gord, who's a legendary frontman, this is it. This is the last time he can perform before he forgets the words, and he's going to be bedridden. And they go out on this tour throughout Canada, and it brought tears to my eyes. It was so inspiring. It was just a great music doc. And I came out of it, I watched the final episode today, and I was really brought to tears. It was that emotional. And I wanted to talk about that today until I saw the Raider injury report. And the way I'll describe it is I saw something real in a documentary about someone that was real and brought a lot of emotion out of me watching it. And now it's sports, and I'm pretty emotional that Max and Devontae aren't playing, but it's not life-threatening. It's sports. And, you know, we're supposed to be able to see the difference in life between life, family, sports, and everything else. And I want to talk about that from time to time. And this is sports. It isn't life. So everybody get over feeling freaking sorry for yourself. Grow up. Get behind your team and stop whining and complaining about a sporting event where some people are checking out before the game is played. I can't believe it. And it's supposed to be Raider Nation. And some people are checked out before the game is played. It's incredible. Police yourself. Find a couple of Raider fans in your group that at least is vibrant about life and football and want to win and aren't going to drag you down. And if the season goes down and there's some things we'll have to deal with, we'll deal with it accordingly. It is life and death to a lot of Raider fans. I understand that. I never get in the way with you when you're getting emotional about a game, your team, your passion. But God, man, keep the other people out of your world in a game like this. The fans that are going to go in that game and weren't pathetic enough to sell their tickets to Cleveland fans on purpose on a secondary website instead of giving those tickets or selling them to a Raider fan, bring those Raider fans together in the building and come together for your team. I'm not going to tell you to quit the team. That's not my right to do it. I would never do that. I would never cross that line. But what I will tell you is don't have a problem if you're having a beer telling the guy two stools down from you to shut the hell up because you're a Raider fan and you want to win this game and get the 2-2. And if he has a problem with it, walk outside with him. God, what have we become? It's a game. It's Sunday. Go win the game. And then everything will figure itself out next week in Denver. All right, let's get out of here and get it ready for Q as we continue. Yes. Yeah, I know it's a family show, Cabby. I know that every once in a while someone uses a bad word. I know that. I have an FCC license. I have a license from the FCC. I have a driver's license and a license from the FCC. I got two licenses.
Here it is by Mason. He turns, he's ready, he throws, and is swung on and hit to third. He was left up with it. Schumann, he turns, he throws, and the A's have won it. Mason Miller slams the door on the Rangers as the curtain comes down on 57 incredible years of A's baseball at the Coliseum. It's over. It is over after 57 years of thrills, of heartbreak, but always a sense of community, of fans belonging to something bigger, something special.
All right, we wanted to end with that final out at the Coliseum for the A's. I was planning on doing that no matter what happened today with the Raider injuries. I've had a lot of memories up there, and they're mostly all been great. Going to the Coliseum, a lot of people welcomed me there. I went there as a fan. My kids, I remember taking my kids in strollers, and having to put the stroller in the car and carry them into the game. And I just remember how important that was in the space of my life, the time in the Bay Area, to go to those games. I really do. So a lot of Raider fans are obviously A's fans. A's fans are Raiders fans. We get that. And whatever happens in the future, it's going to happen no matter what. There's going to be a lot of blame to go around up in Oakland and what happened with the A's leaving. They might not leave. They might be back there next year, depending on what happens. But a lot of fans were truly affected yesterday. And that's what being a fan's all about. You know, this week has changed a lot. Not for me. You know, I haven't been scarred this week. But this week, there was a lot of adversity in the Raider Nation from Sunday after the game, which was really halftime. The game was over at halftime against Carolina. So from halftime, when I was sitting with my family at the game and the game was over, until today when we found out Devontae and Max can't play, with all that happening, there's been a lot of adversity this week. The only way we could get out of this as a fan base in Raider Nation is to get the win. I don't know how they're going to win the game, but I think they're going to win because of Cleveland's injuries. The Raiders have a lot of injuries. If Cleveland didn't have any injuries and the Raiders had all of these, they probably don't win the game. But Cleveland is banged up just as much as the Raiders. And the dog pound's coming. They didn't cancel their flights. Wait till you see what the airport looks like in about 4 or 5 hours when those Cleveland flights are landing in Vegas and they got 130 people on every flight wearing a Browns jersey. They didn't cancel because David Njoku's not playing and they lost three offensive line starters. They're coming. They're coming. And the Raider Nation's got to come in and match that energy there in the crowd at home, at the home game, because the Browns and the Steelers are two of the best traveling teams in football, two of the top five, the Cowboys, the Niners. I think the Raiders are great traveling fans. Jess, great job today. Bobby, great job. Appreciate all the work they do putting this show together. We got to deal with a lot of great partners on this show. And normally I thank them all at the end, but this It's chaos today, man. I pulled up, and it was like they met me outside going, what are we doing? Devontae's out. You know, Max is out. We're going to do a show. We're going to do a show, and I'm going to lead into Q, and he's going to do a big show. And then we're going to have a good weekend. So ALS tonight over at the Strat. I'll be the MC at 7 o'clock. And then I'll be at the Biletnikoff Crab Fest, which is always a great time. I know a lot of people are going to that over at the Westgate. A lot of Raider Nation will be at the Westgate tonight to be a part of that. And then I'll see you at the Torch on Sunday. It's a late start, so I'll have a few extra minutes, but I can't wait for that. Have a great weekend, everyone.